maybe most everybody does, but there might be some of you that don't know about Brother Randy. We've known Brother Randy, and he's been coming to our church since 1989, believe it or not. That's been a long time ago. No, let's see. Excuse me. We met you in 1990. We met him in 1989 in Charlotte, North Carolina, and the first time that he came to our church was April of 1990, and he's been coming every year since then, and just a true friend and a true co-laborer in the Lord, and a man that loves God, and a man that knows the Spirit of God, and a man that stands with a calling on his life as a prophet of God. Now, the Bible says in Ephesians 4, I'm going to read just a verse or two to you right here, we need to understand this and refresh ourselves in this. You may know it, but it's good to get stirred up in it. Amen. In Ephesians 4:11, it says, "And he himself," that's the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, "when he ascended on high, he gave gifts to men." In verse 11, it says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." This is what we call and what we refer to as the fivefold ministry: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Now, in one sense, every Christian is a minister. We're all called to the ministry of reconciliation. We can all lay hands on the sick and expect them to recover. Jesus said that. These signs will follow those who believe. We can all win souls and bring people to the Lord. But the Lord has established what's called the fivefold ministry, and the purpose of the fivefold ministry is to equip all of us to be able to run our race, to equip all of us to be able to fulfill what God has given us to do. And without the fivefold ministry, we will not be fully equipped. And part of that fivefold ministry is a pastor and teacher, and those are the offices that I stand in. But it didn't just say he gave the pastor and the teacher. It said he gave the apostle and the prophet and the evangelist as well as the pastor and teacher. So we need exposure, point I'm making, we need exposure to all of the ministry gifts. Amen? And Brother Randy ministers as a prophet, and I don't know what all else. Praise God. But the Lord anoints him now a prophet. Somebody said, does that mean he's just going to stand up and prophesy for the whole time? No. A prophet, a true prophet of God, is first of all a preacher and a teacher of the Word of God. Amen. So he's going to preach and teach the Word of God and then minister as the Lord leads him. But I want you to expect God to deposit something in your heart tonight. I want you to expect to receive from the Lord tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Why don't you stand up and let's just give a great welcome to Reverend Randall Greer. Come on, Brother Randy. Let's welcome him to City on a Hill Church tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Well, I think the word for the hour is make sure the lid switch is fixed.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Have I got it myself on here? Am I on? Hallelujah. Yes, I'm on. I'm here. Want to make sure I'm right. But the lid switch has got to be operational, or it's going to fill up with water and not pump out. Amen. So that's the word from today. Amen. And for today. But it's certainly good to be back with you. And as Pastors David and Robin Harris, they're people of integrity that walk in the light of the Word of God and the Holy Ghost. You couldn't have any better pastors anywhere in the world than you got right here. They've been through the fire. They've been through the flood. They've been through the storm. And they're still standing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God. Amen. Thank God for pastors like that. Amen. That stand true to the Holy Ghost and stands on the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you that you're leading us and guiding us. And I thank you, Lord, for revelation knowledge of your Word. Lord, as we speak tonight, I thank you that you make my tongue as a pen of a ready writer.
Thank you, Lord.
And help me to say and give utterance to those things that you've dropped into my spirit and my heart.
Yes.
And Father, I thank you that you make me a blessing and that each person under the sound of my voice will receive from you in this service tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. I see where board members sitting back here. They live up in Hiwassee, Georgia, on the top of the mountain. So we just joke and say all he's got to do is knock her neutral. and let her roll. Let it come down the hill. But they live up there in Owosse. If you anybody ever been to Owosse? Oh, I got a lot of folks that's been up that way. Well, that's where they're from. And we thank God for them. They're just people that stood by us and stood with us. And we appreciate them. We need people that can help us and straighten us out when we need straightening out. Amen. Thank God for that. But the Spirit of God has been dealing with me ever since I woke up this morning about something that He has already said to me previously. And He wants me to share that with you tonight. Somebody want a prophetic word for today? There's a prophetic word that the Lord gave me supernaturally while I was praying at my home. We was praying with my son about a situation. You know, he's in aviation and also in the aerospace science, something another, something another, something another, something another. At Oklahoma State University, that's where he's going. You know, and anyway, he had been up against a situation where that he was trying to go into another rating in his aviation stuff. You know, he's a commercial pilot and, of course, instrument pilot and then professional pilot degree. And then he was working towards his certified flight instructor rating. And it just seemed like that every time he just came to me and said, Daddy, you know, he said, it just seems like that every way I turn, there's been opposition in me getting this rating right here. And he said, I know it's the devil. And I said, okay, son. I said, do you want to turn it around? He said, yes, Daddy. I said, let's call a solemn assembly. You know what a solemn assembly is? It's where everybody prays. The cat, the dog, the cow, you know, everybody. We just decide to pray. So we got in our home, and we started praying, and we started seeking God, and we started praying about my son Randall's situation and about what he was facing in college and the opposition. Just all kind of things would come up, and I said, we're going to turn this around. The Lord showed us how to pray. We prayed and agreed as a family, and of course, 2 days later, everything was turned around, and he had this next certification and rating, and it just happened so quick after doing this for over 2 months that he'd been trying to get this. In 2 days, it all happened and was fulfilled. Now, while we were praying, when you're in the Spirit, you know, other things can happen and God can speak to you. While I was in the Spirit, suddenly the prophetic came on me. You know what I mean? And you can tell when it's there and you can tell when it's not there. But the Lord said, this is a word for today for my people and for the body of Christ. A word today for my people. Now, I've shared this before. I've shared it several times. But again, when I woke up this morning, the Lord said to share it with the people tonight because you can't tell this enough. The word and answer for people today, this is what the Lord gave me. He said the spiritual protocol for today. Spiritual protocol for today. Protocol meaning direction, meaning planned, needing, in other words, direction that you need to go. What is God's spiritual protocol for today? He has a spiritual protocol, and He wants us to understand that we need to act on things. In fact, the Lord said to me, I believe I was in Crawfordsville, Indiana. That's up by Kokomo, looking for Indian Joe, you know, in Indiana. But anyway, I was up there, and the Spirit of God said to me during a time of prayer, I was going to speak at a church there, and the Spirit of God said, when you go out to speak, He said, you tell the people this. I said, what do you want me to tell them? He said, tell them that revelation knowledge that's been failed to be applied by the individual in their life will be and can be detrimental to them. Revelation knowledge. In other words, a lot of people want more knowledge. They want more revelation. They want to hear the latest thing. But see, it's not the revelation knowledge that we know that's going to benefit us. It's the revelation knowledge that we act upon that's going to benefit us. So revelation knowledge that you do not apply to your life can be detrimental to you. In other words, if you hear revelation and you got revelation of the Bible and you know what you should do, then you need to practice that. A lot of people are waiting on God when God is waiting on us to believe His word and act on it. We're the one down here that flips the switch. We've got to turn the switch of faith on. That's what Dad Hagin used to tell us all the time. Keep the switch of faith turned on. But first you got to flip it on. So this is revelation knowledge that I'm giving to you tonight. This is not something that I thought up. It's not something I dreamed up. But this is a spiritual protocol for you today. If you want to see your circumstances turned around, or if you want to go further, maybe you don't have any circumstances, but you want to go further than you are today, and you want to have more and benefit more from the Word of God than you are today, then this is the message for you, because this is a message from heaven. So let's turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and a chapter that you may have to, you know, unstick the pages where the bubble gum is dropped in, you know, and things like that. But 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and the orange juice while you was drinking it and you spilled it and it made the pages stick together. Or just unstick them and turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse number 1. Again, this is spiritual protocol for today. Spiritual directions for us today. Spiritual instructions from heaven for us today. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, I didn't think this up. It's not wrong to study the Bible and prepare a sermon, but I didn't just study the Bible and prepare this sermon. It was given to me by the Spirit of the living God. And because of that, it always works and it always will work. You know, Dad Hagin used to talk about sermons that the Lord gave to him supernaturally, especially the one, how to write your own ticket with God. Jesus appeared to him and gave him four steps, four principles. If any Christian would take those four steps, that it would absolutely change any circumstance, situation in your life. But it was all, you can't wear them kind of sermons out. I mean, they're good for you. Amen. So here in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse number 1, says, "It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them beside other besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle." Let me stop right here and talk a little bit. The body of Christ has been under attack since 2006. 2006 is when false doctrine was introduced to this nation on a level that's unprecedented in the church, but it came against the church through seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Doctrines of devils are always invented by seducing spirits, which are agents of the devil to cause harm and havoc in the body of Christ. Well, in 2006, those seducing spirits were released on this nation. And a popular book written by an individual from another nation, and I'm not against the individual. I'm not attacking the individual. The only reason I say things and tell the truth is to protect the flock, not to attack anybody else. But this book was written by a very, became very popular individual, but the book, and it had good truth in it. But there was false doctrine, absolute poison in it. In fact, they tell me, I don't know, I hadn't tried any of it later, and I suggest you do not try this at home. But they said that 99.9% of rat poison won't kill you. But there's a little smidgen in there. When you eat that little pellet, it'll kill you. So don't eat the rat poison because you don't know which one has got it in it. You know what I mean? So any false doctrine has got enough truth in it to get people to listen to it long enough to get a hold to them. But there are things in false doctrine that are absolutely detrimental to the Christian. And if you start believing that stuff and agreeing with that stuff, it'll take you out. So the 2006 false doctrine that came through seducing spirits, which turned into a doctrine of a devil, has started to be declared across the body of Christ, and many, many embraced it. In fact, people embrace this false doctrine on the level that you would never dream. But Jesus said in the last days that even the very elect would be deceived if they did not walk with Him. But if we walk with Him, we're not going to be deceived. But also, this 2006 false doctrine opened up the United States of America to the election of 2008. And in the election of 2008, when the United States of America and millions of Christians voted the wrong way, we invited and opened the door to evil spirits in this nation from foreign countries that we've never had here before. And the church was not prepared for them. The church didn't know how to deal with them. And in fact, they tell me that less than 1% of the people of the United States of America now determine the direction this nation goes. Less than 1%. because these demons are so powerful. Same-sex marriage, you know, the lesbian gay agenda, and all of this stuff, you know, that recently, I think, what was it, yesterday or day today, went up before the Supreme Court? And they're still haven't handed down their ruling on that. Hopefully, they'll have good God sense. And if they don't, I may go up there with a broom and sweep them all out. In the name of Jesus. Said, can you do that? Sister Rachel Tiefenthaler used to go to the White House and sweep it out. Saint of God that's gone to heaven, don't send me up there. My God, I've been there one time right here from this church, if you remember. And God swept two people out in that time of prayer because we were seeking God together. And I'm here to tell you, God's not going to put up with this foolishness no more because he's got to pray in church. And it's time that these things change, and I can see a shift, and I can see a shaking, and I can see a rearranging. I can see it. I don't understand it all. But I can see it coming, and I'm telling you, parts are going to be scattered everywhere. I mean, they're going to try to pick up the pieces. Humpty Dumpty, they're not going to be able to put him back together again. I'm telling you, it's over. I can see it in the spirit, but sometimes when you see things in the spirit, you may think they're right here, and it'll be on out yonder a little ways. But we're in a time that there's been opposition against God's people. There's been opposition against the ministers of the gospel on a level that's unprecedented. Ministers of the gospel, again, that you would never dream that would step down from their place of anointing and glory that God had bestowed upon them and begin to get into error and do things and actually help the devil seduce people. You couldn't believe it of what's happening across the United States of America. But then you come down to the individual Christians. How many Christians have just fell by the wayside, just fell out totally, or just barely hanging on today because the oppression of the enemy? Well, there's a lot of them, but I got news for you. Victory is here tonight. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So here we got the children of Moab, the children of Ammon, and with them, besides them, the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. In other words, there's a battle going on. Now let me bring this, even though this is New Testament, Old Testament, I want to bring it to New Testament terminology. And I want to use the children of Judah and King Jehoshaphat to compare them to the church of today. The enemy has come down to battle against us and tried to shut our mouth. In fact, if they say that this Supreme Court law is upheld of same-sex marriage, that most churches would lose their 501c3 tax shelter. Because if we fail to marry people of same sex, they would pull that away. And that was brought out by one of the justices. If you don't know, my office, you know, informs me of these things. But one of the justices brought this up. This is what would happen. That because if it became law of the land, then that means that Pastor Harris would have to marry same sex couples under the federal statutes and guidelines of our nation. And if he did not, the church would lose its tax status. In fact, they may take him and lock him up. He said, I'm going with him because I escaped three times. If you don't know you don't know my past, we're coming out of there. Well, listen, we'll just start praying for him and God will send an angel like they did Peter. Because he'll be sleeping between the guards and the angel will come and slap him. Get up from there, Pastor Dave. What are you doing? We got to go to work. Get your clothes on, get your tennis shoes on, and let's go. So the devil has come here, type in shadow, you know, to come against Jehoshaphat. Verse 2 says, then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude. Say great.
Great.
Great multitude. The devil always tries to make himself look bigger than what he is. A great, woo-wee. King Jehoshaphat, woo-wee, you ought to see them a-coming. It's a great woo-wee. And then Papa would say, sweeping, sweet. Don't get me started. Oh, great multitude, coming against you. There's a cometh a great multitude. Ladies and gentlemen, there's been a great multitude that has come against God's people, and this is God's people right here. There's been a great multitude. I'm talking about they have ganged up on us. And that's exactly what's happened here. The government, the Supreme Court, the Congress, the judges, and everybody else, society and culture has ganged up on the church. When you gang up on the church, you're ganging up on Jesus. Paul, Saul, whose name became Paul, he ganged up on the church and they sung that song over him. Remember it? Another one bit the dust. I'm telling you, because Jesus Christ appeared to him on the road to Damascus and he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" He had a change of attitude. And I'm here to tell you that same Jesus that showed up on the road to Damascus is the same Jesus that's showing up in the United States of America, because there's been people in the church just like you and others that have been praying and seeking God. And even though there's been a great multitude, it does not matter. Gideon had thousands of men to go out against thousands of men. And God told Gideon, "You got too many. There's too many out here." And he said, "God," he said, "you can't count. There's a whole lot more of them than there are of us." He said, "Tell the ones that want to go home, just go to the house. Just tell them if they're scared, go on out yonder." Then later on, he said, "Go down there and see how they drank at the creek. And if they don't drink a certain way, get rid of them." He came down to 300. And God said, "That's all we need." God said, "That's all we need." And then he gave him something like a water pitcher with a candle in it. That was the weapons of war. And then when he told him, he said, Gideon, he said, "When I give the command, listen, march." And he said, "When I give the command," he said, "you break the pitcher." So all they done is broke the water pitcher. God did the rest. And I'm here to tell you, that's all God's looking for is a handful of people. And they say the enemy is great. I say the enemy is defeated in the name of Jesus. He is not going to defeat the church. And this stuff is coming down in our nation. These demons that's been sitting in these high places, they're coming down in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That anointing's been on me for several weeks now to call these things down. And they're coming down. But he said here, "There was a great multitude coming against you from beyond the sea." And he told them where they'd be. Just for the sake of time, I'm just going to run on through this. Verse 3, Jehoshaphat did what? He feared. He was alarmed. He said, "Oh my goodness, what are we going to do?" That's what we'd say. "Oh my, what are we going to do?" And look what he did. He'd done the best thing that you could do. He set himself to do what? To seek the Lord. He set himself, number one, to seek the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. In other words, all God's children. Not only did he tell people to pray, he prayed himself. God raise up leaders today that will not just tell us to pray, but they'll pray themselves. Amen. I mean, people that's got an international voice and a national voice. Verse 4 says, "And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord." Ladies and gentlemen, if you need help, ask for his help. Ask him to help you in your circumstances, in your situations. Ask, be specific when you ask him, and ask him to come and assist you and help you. He said, "Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord." All the cities, everybody came and they sought the Lord. "And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem and the house of the Lord before the new court." And this is what he prayed. Verse 6. "O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee?" That's the proper perspective when it comes to the devil. Yeah. None is able to withstand God. None is able to withstand God. Notice this. Jehoshaphat didn't start praying the problem. He started praying the answer. Jehoshaphat didn't pray the problem to begin with. He's not even mentioned what's going on yet. He's not praying the problem. He's not talking about the enemy. He's not talking about the devil and what he's doing. He's talking about how big God is. I'm telling you, it's good to pray the answer. What is the answer? None is able to withstand our God. It said, none is able to withstand our God. Isn't that right?
Yes, amen.
And he said, art not thou our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, and then he gives them the protocol right here. And he had already said this, and God had already given them the instructions, and they're following it. He said, if, verse 9, when evil cometh upon us, evil has come upon the church, evil has come upon our nation. If you was here this morning, we talked about those things. We talked about the riots and disturbances and told exactly where they came from, why they were here, why it was going on, and there's no question whatsoever. In fact, the recording's back there somewhere. You can get the recording from this morning, and we talked about it, but that's not my message tonight. We talked about exactly why the riots were going on and the solution to it. There is a solution. It can be stopped. He said, this is the instructions that God had already given them in verse 9. If when evil cometh upon us as a sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. When you ask God, you know what's going to happen? He's going to hear and he is going to help. Yes. Yes. Now, this is here in the Old Testament, but it's proven out in the New Testament. Yes. I just don't have time to turn to all the scriptures. Put it like this, I got the time, but you may not. So I want to make sure you get this revelation. Crying to their affliction means test and trials, opposition, anything that comes your way trying to stop you, which is a titan shadow of the devil. The devil's behind it all. You know, this agrees also, verse 9 agrees with 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Remember? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways. You know what I mean? And he said, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, things are being shook up. Things are being rearranged because people are praying and seeking God. And then in verse 10, and only then, after he talked about how big God is and what God had told him to do, they had followed the proper spiritual protocol. These directions in verse 9, God had already told them what to do when the enemy comes. God has already told us what to do. Turn to him, because he's the solution to every problem. He's the answer to every question that we can face in the church or in our nation. And he talked about the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir and how that they had done good to them, but now they're turning around doing evil to them. And he asked God in verse 12, he said, oh, our God, will thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Notice he said, we have no might against this great company, but remember he had already said, none is able to withstand thee. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. He kept it in the proper perspective of faith. He's acknowledging, I have no ability in this situation, but he didn't need his ability. He needed God's ability. Isn't that right? He just acknowledging it. He said, but we know not what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. When you don't know where to go, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Amen. Look full in his wonderful face. Yeah. Remember that old song of the church? Amen. The hymn? He said, know we what to do. He says, and all Judah, all of God's children, that's what he's talking about, stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, their children, their cats, and their dogs. You know, it don't say that, but the puppy somewhere in there, you know. If you got a puppy, you know how that you get attached to them and you make them pray, you know. We get to praying at the house, so we just tell them, Princess, pray. Senorita used to be a bit good at it. Senorita would put her feet down, put her head down like this, you know what I mean? Prince is a little rebellious, so we have to get after her, you know what I mean? But Senorita used to do that, you know what I mean? And of course, when after she met the Lord, I guarantee she bowed down. Hallelujah. Look here, they're all praying and they're seeking God. They're following the protocol of God. The enemy is great. It's a great multitude. It's a big problem. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd encourage you, don't look at the world and magnify the problem bigger than our Father God. Don't magnify the problems of our society bigger than our God. Don't magnify the Supreme Court, the presidential administration, the Congress, bigger than our God.
Right.
Don't magnify the judges and the laws of our land bigger than our God.
That's right. Amen.
There is a showdown coming with the devil. I'm telling you, I sense it. Showdown. Just like Elijah was on Mount Carmel and all the prophets of Baal were there, he called fire down from heaven and the fire fell and all the prophets of Baal died. All of them were killed and gotten rid of. And I'm here to tell you there's a showdown with the devil. Don't think that the problem is too big for God. Because it's not. Don't think that it's gone too far, that there is no hope. You know, the enemy's job is to make us feel hopeless. He wants us to get into a place of despair, helplessness, hopelessness. And get us just, well, we've got to accept this. This is just the way it's going to be. I guess we're going to have to put up with this because they're going to change the culture of our society that it was founded on. No!
Amen.
Don't make me come back there.
Hallelujah.
We don't have to accept Amen. It. That's what we've been doing.
Yeah. Amen.
We've been sitting silent, hiding in the closet. Get out of the doggone closet.
Amen.
They're going to come in there and find you anyway. Just sit on the front porch. Start believing what belongs to us.
Yes.
Take authority over the devil in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Get the recording from this morning. Don't make me make you get it. Get that recording. Because it was a prophetic word.
Yeah.
Lord gave me the message for this morning, for this hour.
Amen.
About our authority. You know these things, but we need to be reminded.
Yeah.
We can't be afraid in this day.
Amen.
We're not helpless and we're not hopeless. They had sought God. They had turned the thing over to God. Said, God, our eyes are upon you. Verse 14. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mathaniah. Whew, I need Pastor Harris to help me with all this. A Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. The Lord showed up when the protocol was followed. God always shows up when you follow the spiritual protocol that He's designated in His Word. Not something far out. They already have the instructions on what they were to do in verse number 9. When evil comes, set our face upon you, and you're going to get us out of this. And that's exactly what happened. The Spirit of the Lord came in the midst of the congregation. And when God shows up, things change and are rearranged.
Amen.
I said, when God shows up, things change and things are rearranged. And He showed up at what? The request of the people. The people could have staggered about in their own ideas. They could have hidden the caves in the rocks. They could have got into Frady Hole. Y'all know what Frady Hole's here? If you live in Oklahoma, you know what a Frady Hole is. When you're afraid the tornado is going to take you out, you go get in the Frady Hole. The tornado shelter for city folks. They call them Frady Holes. If you're afraid, go get in there. I've got a thing at my house as a cylinder. I don't know if Mr. Bill, did you see that thing? I got a cylinder in my garage because God told me to get it. Because I'm not always there. And in fact, my son was in that thing. Have you heard about the tornado that hit? In order to come right down by the college where he was at. He was on the north campus there of Tulsa at OSU. And they was telling him to go into the shelter there at the school. And he said, Daddy, he said, I just prayed. And in my spirit, he said, I had this sense that I don't want to be in a place with a bunch of people that don't know God and don't know what to do. He said, I'd rather take my chances of being out yonder with just me and God. And he said, I got my little Fiat, and I took off towards the house. He said, when I got the house, I got in the shelter and I started praying. Him and Princess got in the shelter. Woo! And he came out all right. He talked to us on his cell phone. But they call them things Frady Holes. They have a lot of tornadoes out that way, you know. Devil stirred up, I guess. The Spirit of God showed up in the congregation. Why? Because the people had asked and sought God. They had asked Him. If we will ask God for help today, He's the same God today.
Yes, amen.
And we've been asking, don't get me wrong. A remnant of the church has been asking. He has heard our prayers, and He is working in our behalf. This will work in your individual life. You know, we may be talking about something about national things, but it'll work in your individual life just as well. The principle remains the same. If you'll get serious and seek God and ask for His help in any situation in your life, He'll show up just like He did here. The Spirit of God came upon Jehaziel, the anointing of God, in verse 15, and He said, hearken, which means listen up, pay attention. God is about to speak. He said, all Judah, you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you too, King Jehoshaphat, God is speaking. He said, thus says the Lord unto you. In other words, to make a perfect distinction between Jehaziel and what God is saying. Jehaziel is saying, this is not me, this is God, the Lord. He said, be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but whose? God's. You know, the problem arises when we try to fight our own battles. And we do. We catch ourselves. If you don't watch it, we catch ourselves. And we'll try to fight our own battles. We'll try to worry our way through. We'll try to do this and do that and do this, you know, and do that. I've had my wife in times past, because we've learned now, and she's learned too, not to worry. But we have been in places. Oh, you could really get worried. I'm talking about worried, worried, worried. I'm thinking Andy Griffin. He can say that real good. Worried. He'd talk about something. He'd just drag him words out, you know. And I've been there. And my wife would say, what are we going to do? I said, honey, I said, we're not going to do anything. What? I said, we're not going to do anything. I said, we've turned it over to the Lord. And I said, the Lord's going to take care of us. Yeah. You know, she finally learned that He was going to take care of us. Yeah. And I'm not belittling my wife, but sometimes when you see it coming and it's real, right. I'm talking about it's not a fairy tale and it's not an imagination and it looks like you're going under not one way but about 14. You have a tendency to worry and wonder, what are we going to do? But God comes through for us every single time.
Amen.
He said, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. So I'll give you a word for the Lord today. Don't be afraid of what you see in our nation. Don't be afraid of what's coming from the presidential office. Don't be afraid what's coming from the presidential administration. Don't be afraid of what's coming from Congress. Don't be afraid of what's coming from the Supreme Court. God is still God.
Hallelujah.
And I'm here to tell you, nobody is bigger than Him. Amen. None is able to withstand Him.
Amen.
This thing is being rearranged and there's some changing taking place.
Amen.
God is shuffling things up.
Yeah.
Said, how's it going to all happen? We're just going to see.
Amen.
But God is working. He said, the battle is not yours, but God's. He says, tomorrow go you down against them. In other words, we can't set in this place. We need to take action based on what God says do. What does God tell us to do today? He tells us to take authority over all these evil spirits and command them to go. And I mean, I've had the anointing to come on me. Well, I told them to go back where you came from.
Yeah, you did that this morning.
Yes, go back where you came from. Go back where you came from. We can't cast them off the earth. We can't cast them into the abyss. We can't cast them into hell because they got a right to be here. Pastor can teach us all about that. He's probably already taught us about it many times. They have the right to be here for a while. But I can make them go back where they come from. I was led by the Lord to pray that way. Send you back. Where'd they come from? Well, they came from different places. But wherever they come from, we don't want them here. Get out of here in the name of Jesus. Go back where you come from. So we said, go down. Tomorrow go you down against them. In other words, take action based on what God has said, what His Word says. And He told them where they would find them, at the brook before the wilderness of Jeriel. Verse 17, He's still talking. This is God talking. You shall not need to fight in this battle. How many of us have been fighting? We shall not need to fight in this battle. This is a time of resting in action. Can you rest in action? Yes. You rest by not worrying. You rest by not being dismayed. You rest by not being in fear. You rest by being confident that it's going to be exactly what God says be. I'm confident. That's a rest. But when you're not in rest, you're not in peace. You're worried. You're fretful. You're discouraged. You're dismayed. But he said, you shall not need to fight in this battle. He said, set yourselves, stand ye still. Of course, he's talking about standing still in faith and talking about he's the one that's going to do it. And see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Again, he says, fear not, nor be dismayed. Go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Why are we hiding in our churches? You know what I mean? Talking about on a national level. But why do we hide from the devil on an individual level? Why don't we just boldly confess what God's word says? I think I said it this morning, but I'll say it again. There was this awful disease going around something or another where people were catching the flu, I think. And Brother Hagin was preaching in this extended meeting. And in this meeting, everybody was getting the flu. In fact, they had the football teams in town, high school. The high school football teams, they had to call the game off because there were so many of the football players that had the flu, they did not have enough people there in order to have the game. And then people had the flu and they couldn't come to the meetings. Even the pastor had even thought about, you know, maybe even calling off the meetings because very few people coming. And him and some preachers, Dad Hagin and some preachers were standing around and they were all talking about how bad it was and what's going on, how this flu's just getting everybody, and everybody's catching this thing. And Dad Hagin just spoke right up, you know. And he said, I just want to give notice here that I'm not going to have the flu. And there's no flu that's going to get me. And there ain't no devil that's going to get me. I'm not going to have the flu. And preacher looked, one of the preachers that was standing close by him looked at him and whispered, Brother Hagin, I wouldn't say that if I was you. He said, why wouldn't I say that? He said, the devil might hear you. That's just what Dad Hagin said. And the devil said, that's exactly the dude I want to hear me. You know, he was from Texas, dude. You know, that goes with it, you know. That's the dude I want to hear me. And guess what? He didn't get the flu because he was bold.
Amen.
Many times we accept things and embrace things because we think we have to. The culture of our society many times dictates our beliefs and we don't even realize it. You know what I mean? And if you don't watch it, you know, when you're seeing the ads on TV, everything's going to kill you. And you got to have this thing, you know, this pill, this lotion, this potion, and then listen to the real fast talk afterwards. You might die with dizziness. Your heart may quit. You know, your leg may not work. Lumbago may come on you, you know. If you have any stressful symptoms or you're fixing to kill yourself, call your doctor first. My God, I'd rather take my chance without it. You know what I'm talking about. You've seen it, haven't you? And I mean it, my God. I'm here to tell you, let's trust in the Lord.
Amen.
We're not against doctors. We thank God for doctors, you know, and medical science. But a lot of times, you know, they're trying to look, get us to look everywhere else. Let's keep our eyes focused on the Lord.
Amen.
Because he is the answer to our problems.
Amen.
Thank God for him. He said, the Lord will be with you. Verse 18, and Jehoshaphat, this is King Jehoshaphat, bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord and worshiped, fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. It's proper to worship God. Pastor Harris was reminding me of this today about when Jesus appeared to Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin in 1987 and gave him, I believe, one of the most important revelations for the church, among many others, but it was a very, very top of the line, top priority revelation. It's called Plans, Purposes, and Pursuits. But in that revelation of Jesus appearing to Dr. Timothy Hagin, talked to him for 2 hours and 53 minutes on July the 16th, 1987. Jesus did. The thing that Jesus emphasized the most, and Pastor Harris was telling me about it today, reminding me, and it's the truth. He said the thing that he emphasized the most for the church to do at that time to Dad Hagin, to communicate to the church, was to be being filled with the Spirit and worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And I believe that we went the opposite direction. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying that to attack anybody. But it's good to pray, but it's better to worship and praise. It's good to pray, but it's better to worship and praise. Have you been praying about something for a long time? Have you started praising Him about it? Have you started worshiping Him about it? Have you started magnifying Him about it and thanking Him for it before it ever manifests itself? That's where He wants to move us into. Not just asking, but worshiping and praising Him and glorifying Him. Yes. Amen? So it's good to ask, but it's better to praise and worship. Amen. Verse 19, and the Levites and the children of the Korathites and the children of the Korites stood up to do what? Praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice. It's all right for you to get loud praising the Lord. I'm not saying you got to stop traffic around your house, but I'm telling you it's okay to vocalize and praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord when you don't have any feelings. Right. Praise the Lord when you don't feel like you should praise the Lord. Worship the Lord when you don't have a goosebump. Worship the Lord when an angel doesn't appear to you. Worship the Lord when the glory cloud don't appear. Because if you keep worshiping Him, you're going to fool around and step over in the Spirit, and you might be gone. Enoch walked with God and was not. Isn't that right? Said, what are you going to do then? Well, just you'll be glad, I'll guarantee you. Praise the Lord and He'll show up where you're at. That's a proper protocol for today. It said, they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness. And then this is what King Jehoshaphat told them in the latter part of verse 20. He said, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe His prophets, so shall you prosper. In other words, when God gives a prophetic word, obey it. He said, you'll be established. He said, believe in the Lord your God. So put Him first, so shall you be established. Believe His prophets, so shall ye prosper. Isn't that what the Bible says? That's what it says. When you get a word from God, if you will obey it, it's not from man, it's from God. Verse 21, the king, when he had consulted with the people, in other words, he gave them directions and instructions, said he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. Notice out, the praisers and worshipers went out before the army. But what we've tried to do is fight the battle. We need to go out and just worship and praise God and let Him fight the battle. We're not the army, He is. Isn't that right? He's the army. Because He'd already told him He's going to fight the battle. It says, when they begin to sing and praise, notice not shoot bullets, bow and arrows, get the cannons, get the tanks. You know, they didn't have a lot of that, you know, in that day. But it says, when they begin to sing and to praise, what happened? The Lord went to work. Things started happening. Why? Because they began to sing and praise the Lord. If we'll just start singing and praising the Lord and quit magnifying the devil, things turn around. I'm telling you, things are turning around in your life. Things are turning around in your family. We start singing and praising the Lord. Sometimes we get to thinking about the problem, and the problem gets big. You know, the children of Israel were sitting over there with King Saul, and they was looking at Goliath. The bigger they looked at him, the bigger he was. And they didn't want to go out there and face him. Sometimes we just got to take our eyes off the devil and put our eyes on God. They begin to sing and praise. The Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were what? Smitten. Now, when you get smited, you're smited. I'm talking about they were smited. Smitten, you know what I mean? So there must be a word smited. We can make it up anyway. Smited. They were smitten. They were smited. For the children of Ammon and Moab, this tells how it happened, stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir. In other words, they turned on one another, utterly to slay and to destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. And he said here, when Judah, God's children, came toward the watchtower in the wilderness that was headed to see the battle, get to the battlefield, they looked into the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and how many escaped?
None
escaped. How did this all occur? Proper spiritual protocol. They asked God for help. They talked about, number two, how big God was. They didn't pray the problem first. They talked about, none is able to withstand thee. They talked about how he had told them and reminded them of his word. Remember verse 9, God had already previously spoken to them that and told them, if you'll seek me when these tests and trials come your way, he said, I'll show up on your behalf. They'd done that. And then what else did they do? They followed the instructions that God gave them. He told them to go out against him. And then they began to praise and worship the Lord. And as they prayed and began to sing praises to the Lord, what happened? There were dead bodies in the last part of verse 24. There were dead bodies fallen to the earth and none escaped. God showed up with the help just like they had asked, following the spiritual protocol, and that's the protocol that we have for today, the directions. We pray, we ask God, and we praise and glorify God and magnify Him. Says verse 25, when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. 3 days in gathering the spoil. It was so much. Notice something here I want you to look at carefully and understand. Things that they didn't even ask God for, He gave to them. When you please God, blessings flow from everywhere. When you're walking with God, He'll open doors for you that you didn't even ask Him to open. Because when you start pleasing Him, things begin to change. Remember, Paul and Silas was in jail at the midnight hour. Couldn't you say that Mount Seir and Moab and Ammonites had encamped around them spiritually? But what did they do? They began to pray and sing praises to the Lord. God got to liking it to good. My dad-in-law said he patted his foot up in heaven and made the jailhouse rock, and Elvis stole his song. I'm here to tell you, God's the one that made the jailhouse rock. It's in your Bible. And it shook that jail, and all the bars flew open, and the doors and locks came undone. Because God liked the music so much, He started patting His foot. If you want God to pat His foot around your house, you get to worshiping and praising Him. I'm telling you, we got the protocol in there. We know a lot about praying, but just a tiny bit about praising and worshiping. We need to major in the praise and worship in this day that we live in. Amen. We need to do that. Praising God and glorifying God, because if we don't watch it, we'll pray the problem so long we won't even believe it. God can do it ourselves. It's like just one day this preacher, I mean, he was going through it. I'm telling you, he called me as a last resort, you know. Hadn't heard from him in a long time. Him and his wife is separated, you know, and he'd done filed for divorce. I said something like $6,000. They'd seized his bank account, foreclosing on his house. And I was sitting there with him in this restaurant, you know, eating, you know, and I was listening to all this sad story, and he looked like one of them big floppy-jawed bulldogs, you know, hanging down, you know, and everything. And he was telling me about all his problems. And suddenly, the Spirit of the Lord came upon me, just like it did Jehaziel and the children and congregation of the children of God. And I prophesied. I said, hear ye the word of the Lord. God is going to raise you up, turn this thing around, and make an example out of you to your community in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He sat there and looked at me a minute. He said, I don't believe that. And I sat there and looked at him a minute and thought about his problem. I said, I don't know if I believe it either. But when the Spirit of God and the gift of faith says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. 2 weeks later, on a Saturday morning, I got a phone call from this preacher. He said, guess where I'm at? I said, where are you at? He said, I'm with my wife. We got back together. I said, see? Then a little while after that, this lady had got a hold to one of his messages. She lived up in Canada. But she was listening on the internet. Remember, you got some reports this morning about somebody listening to your stuff. She was just, you know, going across the internet and found his messages on his church website and listened to them. And she liked him so good that the Spirit of God spoke to her and told him to send him $54,000. I said, see? When the Spirit of the Lord shows up, he wasn't even asking for that. God turned it around. I said, brother, I think I'm getting tired. I was joking. You know what I mean? The tithe goes to the local church. Thank God for it. But when God shows up, and the way he shows up is praying and seeking him. Let me just close with these last few verses here. Because it says, on the fourth day, this is after the third day of gathering all the spoils, they were careful to remember what God had done for them. Sometimes we fail to praise him for what he's already done. You know, I think all of us, if we just stood here for quite a while, maybe 100 years, I don't know if we could praise him for all he's ever done for us. There's been so much he's done for us, we don't even know what it is. He says, on the fourth day, what did they do? They assembled themselves in the valley of Baraka. For there they blessed the Lord. They did what? They blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of the same place was called the Valley of Baraka unto this day. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them, to go again to Jerusalem with what? With joy, for the Lord had made them to do what? Rejoice over their enemies. It says, they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. Dong, 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 hallelujah. They were praising God. It might not have sounded just like that. You know what I mean? But don't put me in the choir loft. But anyway, it says, they came to the house of God, and the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries that was around them, of course, when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. And they didn't even ask for that. But look at what showed up when they started following the spiritual protocol that God... And ladies and gentlemen, when I say this in all humility, if I've ever heard from the Lord, I heard from the Lord about this chapter. He said, this is what the church should be doing today. Of course, this is Old Testament. We bring it to the New Testament. We praise God in the name of Jesus. We follow the spiritual protocol of God's Word, and I'll guarantee you that it shall and will be turned around for us. Amen. And you can go ahead and get you a trumpet and a psaltery and a harp and... Psaltery, I wonder you buy it. Is it Morton salt or what? Anyway, psaltery or whatever. I don't know if it's Morton or somebody else. But I mean, just start praising God. Start glorifying God. Start magnifying God. And listen, when you get home tonight, if the devil is, if you left him sitting in the rocking chair on the front porch, you kick that rascal over. And if he's swinging in your swing set, the one that swings with the chains, cut the doggone chains and kick his rear end off. And I'm not being vulgar. I'm just telling you the truth. Don't let him hang out around your house. And one way that you're going to get him away from there is start praising and worshiping God. Amen. The devil don't want to hang around anybody that's praising and worshiping God. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in our finest hour. Amen. I know it looks dark. I know it looks bleak when you look on the horizon of time. And you look at the culture of our society. It looks like we've come to an end. It looks like there is no hope. But God is already our hope. God is already our answer. And this thing is already turned around in the Spirit. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. For the Holy Ghost and the power of God. And Lord, we're dependent upon you. Lord, our eyes are upon you, and we're believing you tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you're tonight and you say, Brother Randy, I need a miracle from God, whether it be spiritually, physically, materially, financially, educationally, family, job, I don't care. God is the source of that, and I want to pray for you. And if that's you, raise your hand boldly. Said, I'm ready to believe God for a miracle. Well, this is what we can do. Everybody stand to your feet. And if you raised your hand for prayer, just step out from where you're at and come down to the front. And if you didn't raise your hand for prayer and you want to come, come also. We're believing God tonight. We're going to just step out on His Word and do exactly what His Word says. In the name of Jesus, we're going to do exactly what His Word says. We're going to believe God. You start praising God. You start glorifying God. You start worshiping God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Worship and glorify God.